Season 2, Episode 64/2A, Pete's Podcast, Bible Story Evangelism, Episode 64/2A, Explanation of the Parable of the Tares. This is the first of the last five parables that are said to the disciples in the house. There's only two houses that I've heard of in Capernaum, and they are Simon and Andrew's house and the house of the tax collector Matthew, who has become a disciple. So I would guess it's one of those two. It doesn't say. We're going to take a look at Matthew chapter 13, verses 36 through 43. And again, this is just a continuation of Matthew chapter 13. Episode 64, I've already said, had 11 episodes in it. We're on episode, well, parable number 6, let's put it that way. Episode number 7 because of the introduction. Anyway, part of the same day near Capernaum called the Busy Day. So we're through with the first five parables to the crowd by the Sea of Galilee. And we're starting the five parables to the disciples in the house. And we're in part 7, the longest part of A.T. Robertson's 14 parts. Episode 7 covers episode 37 to 71. The Great Galilean Ministry, based on A.T. Robertson's A Harmony of the Gospels for Students, The Life of Christ, copyright 1922. The C.I. Schofield, Schofield Reference Bible, copyright 1909. Again, I want to review the Busy Day, which really covers the 11 of 64, but also 61, 62, 63, 65, and 66. Episode 61 is entitled The Blasphemous Accusations of Christ's League with Beelzebub, or Partnership with Beelzebub, to do these miracles, because they can't argue against the dead being raised, the blind receiving their sight, the lepers cleansed and demons cast out to the tune of 1,000 in one guy. That'll be episode 66. Anyway, I think he's really, really doing a lot of miracles. And I say that because when John the Baptist's disciples came, he said, tell John the Baptist. John the Baptist wanted to know, are you the Messiah, or do we look for another? And when he sent them away, he told them, tell John the Baptist what you saw today. You saw the dead raised, I think, more than just one. You saw the sight, the blind receive their sight, also many, I'm assuming. You also saw the lepers cleansed and demons cast out. So the blasphemous accusation is 61. 62 is scribes and Pharisees demand a sign, just like Caiaphas did when Jesus began his public ministry in Jerusalem. Well, I guess you could argue that he began it at the wedding of Cana, but I'm not sure how many people really, you know, knew what happened. Now, the servants did, but I don't think the master of ceremonies did. So I don't think he got a lot of fame out of that. Anyway, he got a lot of fame out of doing miracles, to the point where I think after doing 6 months of miracles in Jerusalem, Nicodemus came to him by night and said, we know you come from God. No man could do these miracles except they be from God. And Jesus' first words out of his mouth to Nicodemus was, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus was all about the furtherance of the gospel. Philippians chapter 1. Okay, the scribes and Pharisees demand a sign. He says the only sign you'll get is the sign of, the one he gave to Caiaphas was, tear down this temple, I'll rebuild it, which came back to haunt him at his crucifixion 3 years later. And then there was the this sign that he said, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. So he goes to basically his death on the cross, or you could say his death, burial, and resurrection. In both of these signs, those are the big ones. 2,021 years ago, approximately. Okay, in episode 63, Christ's mother and brethren seek to take him home, is the way A.T. Robertson explained it. I've never heard it said that way before, but I think you could make a case that some of his relatives were not believing in him, even at the time of right up to the crucifixion. Maybe it was the resurrection that convinced some of his relatives. Episode 64 is the episode we're on, the introduction and then the 10 parables. We're on parable number 6, which is really the explanation of the tares, which was one that he did to the crowd. Next episode after 64 is 65, and that will be the crossing of the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus stills the tempest. I think he's sleeping. Had a long day, long busy day, and he gets up and calms the sea. Episode 66, beyond the lake, as they get out of the boat. I don't know if it miraculously appears on the shores after he calms the sea, or they just sail to this coast. I'm not sure, but beyond the lake, Jesus heals the Gadarene demoniac with the 1,000 demons that are cast into swine and they run off a cliff. And the people of that area ask Jesus to leave. Okay, then that would bring us to the next episode, 67, which I don't think I'm prepared to talk about. All right. So the parables we've looked at so far, the first five to the multitude by the seashore, parable of the sower, the four kinds of grounds, the sidewalk, basically the where people walk, couldn't take root. Then you had the stony ground, you had the weed-filled ground, not good grounds, not fruitful. Saved, I think, sprung up, but not fruitful. And then you had three types of fruitful in the good ground, and that is some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Parable of the seed growing of itself. Parable of the tares, which is the one we're going to look at the explanation to today. And I was pretty much right. The weeds are the unbelievers. The wheat are the believers. The wheat seeds are the believers. Parable of the mustard seed, and again, the mustard seed was here. The mustard seed was the producer of the mustard tree, because mustard also grows as a crop with a little bean pod, and they have bigger seeds than the mustard tree. And I think you could make a good argument that the mustard tree comes from the smallest seed of any tree. But it might be used to make mustard. I don't know. I know they use the other one because they're bigger and juicier. I don't know. Anyway, they look kind of moist. These look kind of like hard and small. Much smaller. 10 times smaller than the mustard seed that grows in a pod. Anyway, parable of the leaven, which we looked at in our last episode, which I think is the leaven. It was not explained. I think it will be explained to his disciples later. But it is the beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is their doctrine. Beware of the doctrine of works for salvation. And if you're like me, your ears perk up every time you hear somebody go back to that. And I don't know why they do that. I would argue that they might not be believers that they just can't stand it, that God loved someone enough to give them eternal life from the beginning, not a reward, a gift. It just doesn't make sense to them, and they don't believe it. Anyway, now in the disciples' house, brings us to today's, which is explanation of the parable of the tares, then the parable of the treasure, hid treasure, parable of the pearl of great excuse me, the parable of the pearl of great price, parable of the net, and the last one, the fifth one, explained to the or given to the disciples is the parable of the householder. Okay, so again, we're on the Great Galilean Ministry, number 7 of 14, which is a little less than halfway through. All right, the 14 are all 184 episodes, which get added to by me and by E.T. Robertson. He breaks them up into A, B, C, D, E for episode 64. All right, let's take a look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 36. Matthew chapter 13, verse 36. Matthew chapter 13, verse 36. We're going to take a look at 8 verses here as Jesus explains the parable of the tares to the disciples in the house. Jesus sent the multitude away. Been a long day. They probably were hungry. He didn't feed them. So they're going to go home and get some rest. And he went into the house. And that's the best I can do on that. It's the best A.T. Robertson does. To the disciples in the house is what he calls this. And his disciples came unto him, which again is more than the 12 apostles. These include men and women that follow him, maybe as many as 150. Some, that's the most I've ever heard of, that followed him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. I think they would know that, you know, we're talking about weeds here. Tares is not a word that we use, but I'm using King James Bible, so what Bible you're using might use a more modern word. Verse 37, Jesus answered and said unto his disciples, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man, which is Old Testament for Messiah. He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. And it's going to define the good seed in the next few verses. All right, so verse 37. Jesus answered and said unto them, when they asked for him to explain the parable of the tares in the field, or the weeds in the field, the wheat field, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man, the Messiah, Christ himself. Verse 38, the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. That's why this is so controversial. The speaking to Jewish Pharisees and Sadducees and priests, and he keeps telling them, the quote-unquote good people, that they're going to hell, and that the bad people, no, he's telling the bad people they're going to heaven and the good people are going to hell. Anyway, at least they're good in their own eyes. Whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. James 2:10. So that'll get you lost pretty quick if you think you're so good. Verse 38. The field is the world. The seed are the children of the kingdom. The only people that live on into the millennial kingdom are those that, the sheep and the goats. When we get to that, the sheep live on in the millennium kingdom. The goats are cast in the lake of fire for 1,000 years, waiting the great white throne judgment at the end of the kingdom, which will begin with be the beginning of a new heaven and a new earth and eternity, either with God or separated from God. Right, verse 38, the field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, But the tares are the children of the wicked one. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So one thing that changes when you trust Christ is you're born, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So if you, and that's one thing that changes when you trust Christ. You're no longer a child of the wicked one. You're born again into God's family, never to be lost. Verse 39, the enemy that sowed the children of the wicked one is the devil. So they're out there. And they're calling him, in league with Satan, while in fact they are the ones that are in league with Satan, not Christ. He's doing these miracles by his own power as part of the Trinity. The harvest is the end of the world. Now that is the end of the world is at the end of the millennial kingdom on earth. And then it graduates. There's a great noise. There is a big bang. It just hadn't happened yet. The earth passes away with a great noise. When will that be? If the rapture occurred today, that would be 1,007 years from now. A little less, because God has to call the tribulation short, or no believers would live on into the millennium. And he would like some people to live on. He'd need at least two. Adam and Eve, if you will. I think he has more than that. But the harvest is the end of the world, which is the ultimate eternal separation from God, or entrance into the new heaven and a new earth, which is really remarkable. It's got to be a giant planet with the New Jerusalem on it, the capital city, because I think there are other cities. Rulers, you know, that's one of the rewards, is to rule cities in the new heaven. It's called New Jerusalem, the capital of the new heaven. And it's a building that's, I think, 1,800 miles or 1,800 kilometers tall. It's a very tall building, much higher than the space station. So it's a big planet, but it's got to hold all the believers. And, you know, some people like a little elbow room. I'm from Nebraska. There's plenty of elbow room in Nebraska. You could drive through Nebraska and not get a radio station. At least when I was a kid, you could. Verse 39. The enemy that sowed the children of the wicked one is the wicked one, the devil, verse 39. And the harvest is the end of the world, which is the ultimate judgment. And the only judgment that takes place there is called the Great White Throne for punishment in hell. Believers have already received their judgment. The church receives their judgment during the tribulation, during the seven-year tribulation, called the judgment seat of Christ. The ones that survive the tribulation live on into the millennium. It kind of says that things are going to go back to the way they were. I don't know if people are going to live for 1,000 years or close to 1,000 years. The oldest, Methuselah, was the oldest one that was recorded. There might have been somebody that would lived over 1,000 years in the first 1,000 years of the earth. But things were different. I explained that with the water canopy, hyperbaric situation. Your heart got a lot more oxygen in a hyperbaric situation. Hyperoxygen, your heart beat much less often, and you just lived longer. 39. The enemy that sowed the children of the wicked one is the wicked one, and the harvest is the end of the world, passes away with a great noise, and you either go into eternal separation from God. And maybe there's, you know, good news for those of you that haven't trusted Christ. For whatever reason you haven't, there might be different punishments in hell. I don't know. And I think there are different rewards in heaven. But I'm gonna be in heaven. Thank you very much. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in fires. So that, you know, he's saying the tares were a metaphor for the children of the wicked one. It says in verse 38, the tares are the children of the wicked one. So that's not a simile, that's a metaphor. The children are the tares. The children of the wicked one are the weeds. Therefore, the tares are gathered and burned in fire at the end of the world, at the great white throne. So shall it be in the end of the world. There's a new heaven and a new earth. And there shall in no wise enter into the new heaven anything that defileth, neither whatsoever the work of abomination, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Revelation 21:27. The Lamb's book of life. Once your name is in that, my name was in it 49 years ago next month, and it will never be blotted out. I'm sorry if you don't believe eternal life is eternal, but I have eternal life, and it is eternal. Now, there are some Christians that are just not going to have too many rewards, but still, it's going to be a lot better than the wailing and gnashing of teeth of eternal judgment. Verse 41, the Son of Man, the Messiah, shall send forth his angels at the end of the world, and they shall gather out of his kingdom on the earth all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. Now, if you're trying to turn this into works for salvation, that's just not the case. The iniquity, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Believe on him who he hath sent. For by grace ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. I don't think that ever takes place in heaven. I think that's for people that are going, wow, man, I should have trusted Christ. Big mistake. Verse 43. Then shall the righteous... There's none righteous, no, not one. For God hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We are... Or as it says in Genesis 15:6, in Romans chapter 4 also, Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. This is not my righteousness. This is not Abraham's righteousness. This is Christ's righteousness. For God hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God looks at us and sees his Son. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun. Now, maybe some of you think you're that righteous, but I don't. I don't think I am, but I think Jesus is. In the kingdom of their Father. And here we go. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. If you can't hear this, it's because you won't hear it. You will not hear it. You choose not to hear it. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. All right, next podcast, Lord willing, is episode 64, 2 Bravo, the parable of the hid treasure. And it picks up right where this one left off in Matthew chapter 13. And it's to the disciples in the house. And I will say adios, which is to God. And I will say vaya con Dios, go with God.